Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
The topic today, the way I had gotten it was appreciating God's work in you certainly should evoke thanksgiving. So I was a little concerned when I saw the name, but it's essentially the same thing. And, of course, I do enjoy speaking to you all around the time of Thanksgiving. Maybe at the end I'll take my annual what are you thankful for kind of questions. So so when we think about the process of sanctification, as I'm kind of bringing up the rear in the various talks about sanctification, hopefully not everything has been said, but what exactly is sanctification? What's involved in our part? It's basically a recognizing that I'm growing in holiness. If you're looking at your life, kind of where I was, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, you recognize today, hopefully, that I'm following Christ closer than I was then, you know, reacting to sin in my life quicker. Those are all evidences of sanctification in your life. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So it's this idea that we're growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's there's another aspect of it, that I'm working out my salvation. We see that, of course, in Philippians 2:12. It says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Okay, when you first hear that, how does that sound to us? It's like, oh, I got to do works for my salvation. I have to earn my salvation. That's, of course, you know, maybe a logical conclusion, but what is it that it's saying there? It's saying that our sanctification, our becoming conformed to the image of Christ, it's work on our part, but it says we should do so, the things that we do that are work, in with respect to our salvation, we should do so with fear and trembling. So the idea is, you know, with a reverence to God, toward God. It's just an understanding that, you know, there's this, I've referred to this before, this idea that we let go and let God. You just kind of put your spiritual growth on autopilot, and it's just going to happen. Well, it's not just going to happen. And as Pastor Lee told us last Saturday, there's many different aspects that we're involved with. You know, you remember the various means of grace that he spoke of, things like prayer, things like reading your Bible, fellowshipping. You recall the message. So there's things that we develop as disciplines in our life that help in that. But ultimately, there are things that God is doing in and through us, with the Spirit convicting us of sin. There's, you know, many things that God has provided, you know, for us in with respect to our sanctification. So when it comes to sanctification, we should recognize the work that God is doing in and through us. Through his word, let's kind of revisit a few of them. As we learned this past Saturday, in 1 Peter 2:2, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation." Again, not being a parent myself, I hear that little young ones are pretty excited about getting milk when it's time to eat. I always hear a lot of hearty amens, so I believe this to be true. And the important part of this passage is that we all should desire God's word in the same way. We should look at it as our means of sustenance. We should desire just as much. So it plays a very big part in our sanctification. The first way we appreciate the work of God in our lives is by treasuring his word. It's, if you ask somebody, you know, and I think it's a very valid question, you know, what are you reading lately? You know, what scripture, you know, are you challenging yourself with? Hopefully they have an answer. But if you don't, just take that as a challenge to, you know, to be in God's word, not just so we can check off a box, but so that God can do his work in us. So that's the first part. Jesus explained, I guess it's one of these passages, you know, that, you know, kind of hopefully it hits you. Jesus told his disciples in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And they're probably thinking, man, that kind of hurt my self-esteem. You know, I mean, nothing? I can do nothing? You know, I feel like I'm doing something. He's just saying, no, without my involvement, you can do nothing. I'm always reminded of, this is going way back, so for any of you that are under 50, you probably won't remember this, but years ago, you thought you were going to get away without some sort of little anecdote, but here it is. There was this crazy commercial. It was for, Shake and Bake. And mom, she's made the fried chicken. And the little girl comes out, she goes, and I helped. So her part was, you know, you put the chicken in the bag, it's got all the breadcrumbs, and you shake it. And that was her involvement in the whole process. And we all like to feel like we helped. And, you know, but in reality, if we see progress in our life in respect to holiness, yeah, we like to feel like, yeah, I'm memorizing more verses than I used to. I read through the Bible in a year last year, and those are wonderful things. And there's a respect that we can rejoice in that. You know, hopefully we won't then have a pride problem, but just this idea that, yes, we see progress in our life, but ultimately, you know, we should be listening to what Jesus said to the disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. So that was kind of what I want to say about that. So that's us. We all feel like, you know, we want to have a partner, sanctification. And of course, it's true. But sanctification would not be possible without the work that God is doing in us. Okay, this may be a little controversial, but there was a book that was popular. Again, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but it has been a while. It was called Experiencing God. And it was a very popular book. And maybe it's a book that you all like. I'm very sorry if I'm stepping on toes. But as I was reading it, it occurred to me that what he was saying in essence was, well, I'll just kind of go through this. In John 5, 19 to 20, Jesus answered them and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing in himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. So far, so good. The author said that Jesus always looked to see what God was doing, and then he joined him in that work. And that's very true. That's what that passage says. But not a problem. But then he made the leap and said, we also should look and see what God is doing and join him in his work. That's a problem. How can we definitively know what God is doing at any given time with absolute certainty? How did Jesus see what the Father was doing? Well, he was a bit more omniscient than we are. And he could truly see what God was doing. A lot of times we may think we know what God is doing, but we don't have definitive, absolute knowledge of what God is doing. So what should our approach be? In 1 John 3:24, the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So a second way we can appreciate God's work in our lives is by keeping his commandments. In fact, the Great Commission, at the end, what are we told to do? We're told to go into all the world and then basically teach people to obey. You know, it's that's one of our primary missions. And so many are striving to determine a particular will for our lives. And these things they have, or those people have little or no concern for the clear commands of Scripture that are already laid out. So they want to figure out their particular, you know, what kind of car should I buy? Should I marry Sally? You know, all these kind of things. And you know, God has clearly laid out so many things in Scripture that are to be obeyed, and those should be our primary focus. Included in the prior verse is a third way we can appreciate God's work in us, the indwelling Holy Spirit. As we obey Christ's commands, we are abiding in him. The Holy Spirit helps us to know that we are abiding in him as we grow in Christ's likeness. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. As we grow in sanctification, the Holy Spirit assures us that we belong to God. Philippians 4:13, again, maybe stepping on a few toes, perhaps this is your life verse. Many Christian athletes, you know, after they score the winning touchdown or, you know, their team wins some miraculous ending, they want to give glory to God. They say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a very misunderstood passage, I believe, and I'll explain why. So the athlete, they want to deflect the praise that's been given to them. They want to direct it toward God. That's fine. You know, maybe they're really fast. They have amazing endurance, or, you know, they've just done something that seems superhuman to the reporter. They'll use this verse, but sometimes, you know, it's well intentioned, but it says, I can do all things. Okay, so if you just took that verse in and of itself, I can do all things. Like, for instance, me, could I run under a 4-minute mile right now? Probably, unless I was being towed by something. I don't think I could. So, can we take this in its truest sense? You know, probably not. The point Paul was making was it had to do with a series of things. If you look at the larger context, he was talking about how he had at one time had abundance, another time that he was in need. And he's looking at those things as the all things. But in every of those circumstances, he was content. So his point was that physical circumstances didn't matter to him. He could be content because of the one who strengthened him. That should be the emphasis. And the aspect of God strengthening us should be our thought as far as, you know, our sanctification. Ultimately, it's God that gives us the strength to grow in him. So God provides strength for us to be able to handle life circumstances. As Pastor Lee taught us last Saturday, there are a number of ways or means for us to obtain God's grace, the sustaining ability that energizes our sanctification. Our response is important, but not nearly as vital as the work God is doing in and through us. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's right. But brothers, take heart. With Christ and the word that God is doing, in the work that God is doing in and through us, we can accomplish great things. We should always have an attitude of dependence on God and thankfulness in our hearts for the work of sanctification. So here are some questions for discussion. As you see progress in our sanctification, how should we respond? We must give praise and thanks to God for the work he is doing in us. We can just kind of discuss that. The second is, how can our goals be adjusted to help us with various means of grace? What were they again? Prayer, God's word, Holy Spirit, fellowship. I'm forgetting the others. But let's talk about, you know, just, you say trials? Yeah, that one's, we're hearing a lot about that these days. So, but I just wanted to take a minute to give you all an opportunity. As Thanksgiving's come up, I want to help you train your minds to, as the scripture says, in everything give thanks, you know, to always be thankful. Who has something that they're particularly thankful for now that they'd like to tell us about?